Scripture this morning is from Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 17 through 21. Numbers 13, 17 through 21. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. And let's stand together as we read. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon our time, and pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just work through the word this morning and be with Pastor as he preaches. We pray, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated and turn to number 529 in your songbook, Showers of Blessing, 529. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing. Sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from the earth falling. But for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again.
There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy around us are falling. But for the showers we plead.
Mercy drops round us are falling. Take your Bibles again, please, and let's turn to Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read these verses again. Let me back up to, I'll start at verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. What a wonderful story here in the scripture. And we're going to look at it this morning. And the topic of my message this morning is faith news. Faith news. Let's just bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister to our hearts. I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that might come to trust him today. And Lord, I pray that every one of us Christians would develop the right frame of mind to serve you faithfully and impact others in a positive spiritual way. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. We are living in a day when there's a lot being said about fake news. When I was growing up, the major news networks had well-known men like Walter Cronkite. Some people called him Walter Crankcase, and Harry Reasoner, and others. That's when I was growing up. My dad used to tell the joke that if you combined a modern philosopher with a chimpanzee, you'd have a Harry Reasoner. Anyway, all right. So, thanks, Dad. Appreciate that one. Although there seemed to be more of an effort present to present verifiable facts back then, the news always seemed to be presented with a certain effect upon the listeners in mind. It seems that all news is presented so people will know something the source wants them to know, with a desire for that knowledge to make what appears to be a desired impact. Purposeful news. I cannot forget, as a young person, the way the anti-Vietnam broadcasters hurled the daily number of casualties and deaths into the faces of the American people to influence the public opinion against American presence in Vietnam, and in my opinion, undermining American success. Thank you, Jane Fonda. And I did pay attention as a teenager, having a brother who was serving in the Army in Vietnam while they were doing such things in the major networks in that day. In that case, only certain elements of the true news were presented, often to negatively affect people's opinion in the direction they wanted it to go. The fake news of our day is often based upon hearsay evidence that supports a newscaster's position from whichever direction, which supports a newscaster's position and is given to persuade others to adopt their perspective about the topic of their news and sway public opinion in their direction. Truly, there is a lot of misinformation and slanted information being presented over the various forms of media available today. It reminds me of what Pastor Wood told me years ago about reasons people leave a church. He said there's three reasons. One, the reason they tell the pastor. Two, the reason they tell others. And three, the real reason. And there's fake news along the pathway there. And so there's a lot of misinformation and slanted information presented over the various forms of media that's available, be it news networks, be it Twitter or Facebook, things that are not verifiable or verified. Ought not be listened to, amen? And sometimes I think our attitudes and our minds are ill-affected and impacted because of fake news, regardless of where it's coming from and for what purpose it's being given. The negatively shaded presentation of news is not new. In our passage of Scripture this morning, we read about people who were to gather information and present the facts to the people. And just like today, there were two vantage points from which the news was presented with two opposite ends in mind. So let's examine the story as we're going to talk about faith news this morning. God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the very southern border of the promised land. They were so close to going into Canaan. I've heard varying degrees. It's between 11 and about 35 miles from the border. They were close. They were almost there. God had brought them out of Egypt to take them to the promised land, to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And so God told Moses to take 12 men to spy out the land, one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you to notice the directives that were given to these men as they were to go to search out and to bring back a report. They were to be reporters to the people of what they saw. If you would notice Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 7, we'll look at the directives that were given to these 12 reporters. And Moses sent them to spy out the land, Numbers 13, 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is. That phrase is not new either. See the land, what it is, all right? Anyway, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many. Verse 19, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So we have these 12 men that Moses set apart under God's direction to go into the land of Canaan and check it out. And they're to come back and bring a report of what they saw. First of all, I want you to notice their direction. Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. They were told which way to go and the direction to take. I think toward the Jordan River up in the mountain and under God's command, following God's directions, not their own objectives. They were to follow God's directions. I want you to notice, secondly, their expectations. First, concerning the land. If you notice in verse 18, he said, see the land. Look at the land, the topography, what it's like. What the land is, verse 19, what they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. They were to look at the land and say, yeah, it's a good land, or it's rough land, desert land. Whether the land was good or bad, needed a report of that. And verse number 20, it says what the land is, whether it be fat or lean. Does it produce fruit, or is it a place, a land where nothing grows? They were to give that report concerning the land. And then in verse 20, it says whether there be wood therein or not. I mean, is there trees that can be cut down to build with, or we're going to have to go elsewhere? We're going to have to go to Lebanon to get all our trees, you know. What's it like? Whether there be wood therein or not. So they were expectations concerning the land. Really check it out and bring back news concerning the land. Their expectations concerning the people. In verse 18, it says, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. So God had an expectation of them as they went in to look at the people, to be honest about it. And are they a strong people? Are they weak people? What are they like? And is there a lot of people or just a few in the land of Canaan? Bring us back that report. And then concerning the cities themselves in verse number 19, they were given, had expectations there to fulfill. Verse 19, it says, and what cities they be that they dwell in? What are they like? Are they just tent cities? Whether in tents? or in strongholds? Are they cities that have walls around them, well protected, which we know Jericho was, right? And what kind of cities are they that they dwell in? Are they just tents? They got a bunch of people dwelling, nomads living in tents, and they call that their cities? Or have they built fortified cities? Their expectations concerning the land. And then notice a responsibility that they had when they were to come back. In verse number 20, Numbers 13 and verse 20, and bring of the fruit of the land. So as they were to go through the land, they were supposed to bring back of the fruit. And the Bible interjects there, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. You know, that amazes me. God knows when to put us where we are, doesn't he? Huh? God's timing's always perfect. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. We are where we are when God wants us to be there. They happen to be there and to go into land to check it out and bring a report at the time of first ripe grapes. An omniscient God directing them. And so the first of the fruit was ripe. God wanted that fruit brought back as a testimony of the productivity of the land that these reporters were responsible to bring back. These elements were the news that these men were to bring. The land, news about the land, news about the people, news about the cities, and news about the fruit. And let's go back and look at their direction. How'd they do? In verse number 21, the Bible says, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin, down in the south, not far from where they were, and then up to unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. Apparently, they went up and along the River Jordan, almost a couple hundred miles to the very north part of now Israel, way up north, above Damascus, up, you know, up near Damascus, up that area, way up north. Okay, and they probably followed the River Jordan there. And then verse 32 says, and they ascended by the south, and they came back by the south, and came to Hebron. So apparently they came back down through the center of the land and ended up in Hebron, which is a few miles south of Jerusalem. Came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. It was an ancient city. Had been there a long time. And they came back down through the heartland, traveled, let's say they traveled 10 miles per day. They easily could have accomplished that route described there in 40 days. Just going 10 miles a day from here to Warren Dunes and back, you know, in a day, okay? And I see people walking that route every day that may be homeless, just traveling around, and I see people walking that route frequently and certainly. So if they traveled 10 miles a day for 40 days, they could have traveled how far? We're a bright bunch this morning. Okay, yeah, if they traveled 10 miles a day for 40 days, they could have traveled 400 miles, which would be about that trek. The responsibility to bring fruit, let's see how they did. Verse 23, they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. It was a good cluster of grapes. And they carried it between two on a staff back to bring it and show the people. And they also brought of the pomegranates. We used to have pomegranates growing in our backyard when we lived in Texas. And anyway, pomegranates and of the figs. And so they brought of these fruits, I should say, in obedience to their responsibility to go check out the land, check out the people, check out the cities, check out the fruitfulness of the land. Does it bring forth fruit? And bring some of that fruit. They did that. But notice something else. Here is where the human element of human presentation comes in on the news. And I deliberately left it out just a minute ago when we were looking at what they were commanded to do. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20. and see what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Notice that God made a direct command concerning the human element of their attitude, their frame of mind, as they brought back the news to the people. Be ye of good courage. They were to look at the land and be honest about it. They were to look at the people and be honest about it. They were to look at the fruit of the land and be honest about it. But in looking at it, they were to look at it honestly, but with good courage. The word good courage means to be strengthened or to prevail, to be strong, to be courageous or firm, resolute, to be strong, to prevail upon, caught fast, secure, urgent. All ideas of the word be of good courage there. And so God said, as you look at this and you bring back news, I want you to bring back news with the human element of good courage, commanding them to do it that way. God wanted the news presented in faith, or I would call it faith news. The reality, yes, but with faith to do God's will in the circumstance. In Numbers, or just like today, there were opposite attitudes in the presentation of the news that resulted in public outcomes. In Numbers 13:27, it says, and they told him, this is how they presented now, they told him as they got back, and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they were bringing the real news. They gave the news, however, but they showed a bad attitude. If you notice in verse 28 of chapter 13 there, nevertheless, it's a good place. Fine land, fine fruit. There's strong people. There's lots of people. Some fortified cities. But then they said, nevertheless, the people be strong. And this is, I'm sure, the way they said it. The people are strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled, very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And they presented the news from the fleshly, faithless perspective. The standpoint of the flesh, with doubt and not faith. Caleb was one of the 2 out of 10 that presented faith news. Look at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, Caleb looked at the same news from the perspective of faith and presented it from the perspective of faith to the people. It's a great difference. In verse 31 of the chapter, we see that the men went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they'd searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. They're embellishing now. Okay. It eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Well, not every man they saw. They did see some giants in the land. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight, flesh news, looking at it from their own perspective, perspective of the flesh, not faith. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And I'm not sure they had interaction with them. They made that presentation, I think, of their own volition. Their news, the 10 of the 12, their news was fleshly in its perspective. And it had a negative impact on the people. 10 of the men presented the news from that fleshly, faithless perspective. And look at the results in chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Now let me just stop for a minute. Believing the fleshly news, they were disappointed. Their attitude was ill affected because of the negative attitude of how 10 of the men presented what was partially true. And can you imagine having come out of Egypt and gone through what they had so far to come to this point and hear 10 men say, we can't go further? Be like me standing up here and say, folks, listen, you've asked the Lord to save you, but you can't live the Christian life. Don't even try. It's too hard. Don't bother coming to church. Don't bother reading your Bible. You just can't do it. Flesh news. Fake news. In verse 1 of chapter 14, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let's make us a captain and return into Egypt. Mutiny in the wilderness. The majority of the people were negatively affected from doing the will of God because of the fleshly news of the 10. Sometimes people say, well, I'm my own man. You'd be surprised how we're affected by one another. Joshua and Caleb continued to speak positively about what they'd seen. They tried. If you notice verse 7 here of chapter 14, they spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land, guys. Hey, it's really good. If the Lord delight in us, then He'll bring us to this land. It's on God. And give it us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We got God, we'll eat them up. Their defense is departed from them. Instead of them thinking they were great and stronger than the Israelites, there was already a fear upon them. When we read the story of Rahab, when later on, 40 years later, they cross into the land of Canaan, she mentioned that the fear of them was already, of God was already upon them. If the Lord delight in us, then He'll bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for their bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Can you imagine that? Now, when we look at the circumstances of life, we need to look at the circumstances of life through the eyes of faith. When we look at what lies in front of us, we need to look at it through the eyes of faith. When we speak to others, we need to present things with the words of faith, not the human words, the fleshly words of doubt and discouragement. When we talk with people regarding their difficult times, we need to speak the words of faith. I shared in a message not too awfully long ago about being in Bible college and an upperclassman. I was there just starting my freshman year. An upperclassman there that was a junior he and his wife came over to visit my wife and me, and he sat down and he told us how tough it was going to be in Bible college and be married, and that you probably won't be able to make it. I was so encouraged right then. That was flesh news. Flesh news. By the way, I don't believe he ended up graduating and wasn't serving the Lord the last I knew. When we talk with people regarding difficult times, yes, we're realists. We don't approach life with a pie-in-the-sky mentality that, oh, I'm saved, so I'm above problems and everything is wonderful and hunky-dory. That's a lie. We look at the realities of life and say, you know what? There's some walled cities in front of me. And we say, you know what? There's some giants that I'm going to face. And we look at hard times and say, you know what, I know I'm going to have to work hard, but God can. When we look at problems that we face, we need to present them with words that encourage faith. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You've heard me say often, because I believe it, that the future is always bright for the child of God. Regardless of what your circumstance is, God knows what lies ahead in Canaan, and God can help you through your circumstance. I want to be an exhorter. I want to be an encourager. I want to administer grace to the hearers, where we trust the Lord and encourage Him to go forward from where we are. We can't change the past. We can't even really change the circumstance. But we can all have victory in any and every circumstance by the grace of God. How we present things can make a difference in the lives of others. What weight, in my opinion, lies upon those 10 men that gave fleshly news? They discouraged the whole congregation of Israel from doing what God wanted them to do. How tragic. But I've seen similar things in Christian lives. Whether it's the gainsayers, the critics, the ones that put negative thoughts in people's minds instead of encouraging them to do the right thing in the circumstance and approaching a tough circumstance with the grace of God in faith, looking to God for help, they encourage them to step aside, to turn aside. God does not want us to quit. He doesn't want us to turn back. He wants us to go forward. Amen. And faith news says we can by the grace of God. We should speak words and encourage one another to faithfulness, not faithlessness. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the all things mentioned there are not, I can run a marathon for the glory of God and win. It was, I can thrive and survive in any circumstance. I can be full, I can be empty. I can be on the top or in the bottom. But I can thrive and survive in any circumstance because I can do whatsoever I've learned, he says, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's faith news. That's faith news. Yeah, there's big people there. Yeah, there's tough circumstances. Yes, your lot in life may be a lot tougher than mine right now in a circumstance. You may be experiencing things that I've never experienced. But I'm going to tell you this, by the grace of God, you can go forward. There's no giant bigger than God. There's no wall so great that God can't crumble it. Ask the people of Jericho. There's no rock from which God can't get water. There's no bitter pool in which God cannot make it sweet. God can. The children of Israel, the Bible says in Psalm 78, in speaking against God, asked, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Their question, can God, was an accusation that God can't. And the 10 men here had the attitude, as they presented the news they'd seen, they had the attitude, we can't. They were already had been murmuring and complaining and stiff-necked and hard-headed and hard-hearted, and they looked at what lie in front of them that God wanted them to do from the human, fleshly, carnal, negative perspective. And that's how they presented it. We shouldn't be that way as Christians. The pathway in front of you is a path that God has put for you to walk, and He'll give you the wherewithal to do it. Always. We should be careful not to discourage anyone from stepping forward for the Lord. Our communication with others should encourage them in their walk in grace. Yeah, you've failed, you've come short. Confess your sin, but get up and go on in grace and have God's blessings. The news we share needs to be faith news all the time. It's important to point out in this passage of Scripture who got the blessing. All the men that gave fleshly news died, and the ones who were affected by them did not get to go into the promised land, but ended up dying in the wilderness. See, what we believe and what we act upon does make a difference. And how we present it can make a great difference in the lives of other people. Yeah, it might be tough right now, but God can help you. Yeah, you might be questioning things, but God has the answers in the Word of God. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to stand up and say, you know what, this is not right in my life and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to do it for God. It might be tough, but you can do that because God will give you the strength. The only people that got to go on and had to bear the infirmity of the weak and finally enter into the promised land of the adults living were Joshua and Caleb. Remember later on when Joshua is 80 years old, or Caleb's 80 years old, he says, I want that mountain. Amen? As he gummed his steak. I want that mountain. Why? Because Caleb looked at things from faith standpoint. And Caleb presented things to others from the faith standpoint. Joshua and Caleb, you remember Joshua, the great leader that leads in the conquering of Jericho and Ai and other great cities, got to enjoy the blessings because they looked at things through the eyes of the faith and presented faith news to other people. So this morning, I just want to encourage all of us to be the ones who give encouraging words to help others to do what God wants them to do and will enjoy God's blessings and will encourage others to do well as all. Notice, if you would, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28 what God said to the gainsayers. Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. God didn't pull any punches, did he? After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said it. I will surely do it to this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Listen, folks, God sent them on a mission and said, I want you to do these things, but when you do it, I want you to have faith perspective. And when you share what I want you to share, I want you to share it with faith's perspective. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're facing, you can go forward by the grace of God and the strength of the Lord. Don't let anybody tell you different. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, Satan's doing all he can to keep you from taking that step to receive Christ. Don't listen to it. It's flesh news. Listen to the word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Make sure. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word this morning. Help us to be Christians that encourage one another with news that has faith along with it, that we can do what you want us to do regardless of the circumstances. We have your strength, your power, your presence, your blessing, and your promises to rely upon. Help us to claim them personally. Help us to overlook the negativity around us and go forward in faith. Lord, we ask that you'd challenge us this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone who'd say, preacher, looking at the obstacles I'm facing, I was listening to the flesh thinking I can't go forward. But by the grace of God, I'm going to look at it through the eyes of faith and say, I can go forward for God. He'll help me. He'll bless me. He'll meet my needs, and I'll glorify him. Who'd say, preacher, by the grace of God, I'm going forward in this circumstance. Would you slip up your hand this morning? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Whatever your circumstance is, listen, just take it to the Lord right now and say, God, by your grace, I can. Give me your strength. Help me to look at it from faith's perspective. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been halted from going forward. But today you say, you know what, I want to go and I want to experience the promised land in my life. And nothing's going to stop me. I'm going forward for God. Who'd slip up their hand this morning and say, preacher, I'm going forward. I'm not turning back. Amen. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though Satan tempt me, still I will follow. No turning back. And I wonder if you're here this morning and you've been kind of teetering on the fence about your salvation. You know you've not asked the Lord to be your Savior. but you know He wants to save you. But for some reason, you've listened to a voice that says, don't do it. But today you say, I'm not listening to that voice anymore. I'm going to listen to the faith voice. And today, I'm going to call on Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Is there anyone like that this morning? Say, preacher, I'm going to make sure of my salvation. I need to be saved, and I want Jesus as my Savior. Anybody at all? Young people, listen to what God says in His Word, and godly people say. Follow faith news. Do the right thing. Do what God wants you to do. You'll have the blessing. Others won't. You will. Maybe a young person needs to decide, you know what, I'm going to quit listening to some of the advice of people around me and the popular opinions, and I'm going to listen to the news of faith that comes from God's Word and God's expectations, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do in my day and stand for Jesus. You ought to come and just surrender to the Lord this morning. Say, by the grace of God, like Caleb and Joshua, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. Just a moment, we'll stand together, we'll sing. As we sing, all to Jesus I surrender, maybe you need to do that in reality today. If you're not saved, please come. Let's get it settled. Let's get it settled today. Don't leave here halting between two opinions. Make the decision to go forward for Jesus today by His grace. Shall we stand together, please? Father, I pray You'd bless this invitation. Help us to go forward for Your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff.
Number 390, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, as we go our separate ways, may we walk in a similar pathway, taking steps of faith, trusting You, leaning on You, and Lord, looking for You to bless us as we do. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.